Tonight, as we take the opportunity to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to encourage you to maybe do something you haven't done in quite a while. I'd like to invite you to reach for your worship bulletin, and if you would, go ahead and flip that to the back page. Somebody tell me what you see. Go ahead and shout it out. Note section. Now, you tell me, if someone puts a note section on the back of a bulletin or something of that nature, what do you suppose they want you to do? You got it. Now, that's not coming from me. I firmly believe with all my heart that comes from the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he does not want his word to go on a shelf and collect dust. He's not looking for more religious artifacts in your life or in my life. He wants that word of his to live and to breathe and have a place in your life, to the point when you go out, people know it is who you live for. And tonight, as we kick off our sermon series, Culture Shock, we're going to hear a little bit more about what God does for you and for me when we find ourselves in a place of just that, culture shock. So I hope and I pray that as we take time together tonight and in the days, weeks, and prayerfully years ahead, that God would continue to create us and craft us and mold us to be the people he wants us to be that transforms this community in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I also pray, too, that as you take this home, you'll take time to pray and meditate over those takeaway thoughts and reflections that I provided for you. And I am willing to bet that as you do that, God will lay something on your heart that's meaningful and tangible for you. Because God desires a personal relationship with each and every one of you, including all the people we encounter on a daily basis. Amen? Amen. Tonight, I thought I'd kick off our time together with a question. And my question to you is this: what comes to mind when you hear the words culture shock? Now, you don't have to answer that. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, and I realize this is my first time up to bat with a sermon. Far be it from the new pastor to push people away because he asked people to talk out loud during the worship service. So maybe if you would just take a moment to think about what comes to mind when you hear the words culture shock. Now, as I think about that for myself, I can't help but be transported back in mind and spirit to the Central American country of Belize, where in 2008, a group of Midwesterners were invited to be a part of an ongoing mission to the men, women, and children of Belize to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, a message that people were dying for, a message centered in hope. Now, as I think about that a little bit further, and I continue to take a bird walk in my mind down that path, I'm led to recall certain things, pictures, events, places, and stuff. And I can't help but wonder what comes to mind for you when you hear the words trip to Belize. Anybody tonight want to take a trip to Belize? Yeah? All right, we'll talk about the Praise Lutheran field trip next week. So maybe what comes to mind for you is something that we encountered. For example, something like this. White sandy beaches, crystal clear water, boardwalks that just kind of fade off into the distance with the promise of rest and relaxation and no stress. Does anybody need something like that tonight? Maybe what else comes to mind is the rich biodiversity. I mean, after all, we're talking Central America. We're talking a location that's close to rainforests. So for us, we oftentimes found ourselves taking up housing in various places, and it seemed that 9 times out of 10, something found a way to get inside the room with us, like this little lizard that looks like it's from the Geico commercial. Little lizards and geckos that would crawl underneath your door at night, up on your wall, and just pick a spot right above your bed to watch you while you sleep. Sweet dreams. But then maybe there were other things that crossed your path, like this iguana. You see, just like your neighbor's cat or your dog, these big lizards found a way into your backyard and up into your tree. And every so often, one of the locals would affectionately refer to these as river chickens. And I had to admit that in those moments, I was as much a Chick-fil-A fan as I could possibly be. Word to the wise, if you're going to Belize and you're about to partake of a dish that involves chicken, stop and ask yourself when the last time was you actually saw a chicken running around. Maybe you'll opt for the beef. You can think about that one for a while. But maybe those things don't come to mind for you. Maybe you're thinking more aquatic. Maybe you're thinking more marine life. So for example, there's a number of things, swimming and teeming and playing in the water, like these big starfish that would grow to be the size of a platter. It would cover your whole hand. But maybe that's not what comes to mind for you. Maybe you're led to think about more of the vegetation. Maybe you're more of a botanist. And more specifically, maybe you're thinking about the edibles, the delectables, the things that taste really good, like the bananas and the plantations that just seem to stretch for miles and miles and miles, much like our cornfields and soybean fields would here. Or maybe you're led to think of things that just kind of seem to crop up and grow out of the middle of nowhere with no effort at all. Fruits and vegetables, and in this case, maybe a pepper plant. I don't know if you've ever seen that or if you have one of those growing in your backyard. But it almost looks like somebody was walking along, or a kid was walking along with his bag of Skittles, and all of a sudden some of the Skittles just kind of spilled out. But eater beware, these things will burn a hole in your tongue. Thankfully, I've had time to grow it back. So anyway, but maybe those things don't come to mind for you. Maybe you start to think about more of the unpleasant things. I mean, after all, let's be real. There are some pleasant things about Belize, and there are some not so pleasant things about Belize. For example, what most people don't tell you about are the red fire ants that always find a way into your shoe. And they love open-toed shoes, and they love flip-flops, and they love sandals, and they love to take a bite out of your little toe. Or maybe the jellyfish that look like a plastic bag floating in the water that are so quick to release their venom even though you're swimming as far away as you possibly can and you're not provoking them. Friends, after enough bites and stings, I gotta admit, the Midwest was looking pretty good. Good old Nebraska didn't sound so bad. My home state, if I haven't mentioned that before. Now, I have to admit, as much as that provided a culture shock for my fellow missionaries and I, something else that really caused us to pause and stop and take stock of kind of what was going on in our midst was the rich diversity of cultures that you could find as you went from village to village and neighborhood to neighborhood. So, for example, in this village of Saint Bite on the coast of Belize, you had a number of people groups that were occupying prime real estate on the sand. For example, you had people from China and Guatemala, Mexico and the U.S. You had people of Garifuna and Creole background. And sometimes you even had people that would come up to you and say they could trace their family tree all the way back to the Mayans. I mean, talk about a rich culture. So many backgrounds and viewpoints and ways of life, relationships, communities, approach to family and work and school and play. I mean, talk about culture shock. But I have to admit, beyond the backdrop and the curtain of plants and animals and vegetation and even the melting pot of different cultures, there was one thing that stood out probably more than all that. Something that was pretty arresting, something that was hard to avoid no matter where you went. And what I'm talking about is the competition for the hearts and minds and the eternities of the men, women, and children that live in villages like Saint Bite or in others just like it in Central America. More specifically, what I'm talking about is the prevalence of other world religions, specifically voodoo, that's being practiced right now. You see, it was always surprising, no matter where we went, whether it was a marketplace, a restaurant, a playground where the kids were doing their thing, just like they do here. More often than not, we encountered some kind of subscription and adherence to voodoo. If you went to buy something, it was so that person could go back and support the voodoo temple. If it was something they were cooking, it was an honor to some kind of demonic spirit. If it was some kind of treatment of a neighbor to the ill side of things, it was because they didn't subscribe to voodoo. Going into home after home, building after building, place after place, more often than not, you found some kind of artifact or trinket that told you that they were very much involved and inundated in voodoo culture. You see, for the Christians who are trying to take their stand on this battleground of spiritual warfare, there was culture shock. And if you were trying to walk and talk as a follower of Jesus Christ, friends, it was tough. to say the least. Now, as I think about that and I share that with you here tonight, I can't help but think back to our first scripture reading for tonight from the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. You see, here's a group of people that know all about culture shock. Here's a group of people who new to the Christian faith know exactly what it's like to try to live as a Christ follower in a context and community and culture that wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They don't want his hope, they don't want his forgiveness, they don't want his grace, and they certainly don't want his salvation because they can find other ways. The Colossians know a whole lot about culture shock. And it's for that reason Paul reaches out with a letter to this group of Christians. And we read it a moment ago, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring our attention back to this text, because in this text we find something that not only applies to the Colossians years and years ago in modern-day Turkey, what is now modern-day Turkey, but to you and me today. So let's take a look at that text once again. Colossians 1, let's pick it up at verse 9. Let me share this with you. Paul writes this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." Doing what? Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, friends, Paul gets it. Paul understands here's a group of people, men, women, and children, not too dissimilar from our communities today, who are striving very hard to live for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and yet they're faced with things that are countercultural from the Christian perspective. Habits, behaviors, truths, false truths, things that sound like Jesus but aren't Jesus, things that sound like something Jesus would say but they're not, distortions of the truth, and so on. Paul gets it. Paul understands this group of people is going through some serious culture shock, and what they hear, what they need to hear more than anything, is a word pointing back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An encouragement to look to Jesus Christ in all times, all ways, all places, all situations. When conversations collide, when agendas clash, and when worlds come together, that the one kingdom you look to the most is that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul writes to a group of people who know full well what it means to suffer from culture shock. Now, friends, as I think about that tonight, and I think about these two situations we've talked about thus far in Belize and also in Colossae, I can't help but think about what culture shock has looked like for you this week. In your walk as a Christ follower, in your desire to run full speed after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with your thoughts, your actions, your words, your relationships, and so on, I can't help but wonder where you've struggled or maybe where you've seen culture shock this week in your walk as a Christ follower. You see, as I thought about that for myself, and I'd like to do this with your permission and your encouragement, I'd like to walk with you, and I'd like to faithfully and honestly answer those questions for myself and never ask you a question I won't ask myself, because I don't think that's transparent and I don't think that's real. So as I'm thinking about this, it seems that, and maybe you resonate with this, it seems that when we find ourselves in culture shock, there's this duality going on in our hearts. And it's almost like there's this force kind of cleaving our heart in two. So that when we come into a situation, we find on the one hand ourselves asking, what would Jesus have me do in this situation? But then in the same breath, the same span of a thought, we find ourselves asking, well, what would the world have me do? And it's in that moment we find ourselves suffering from culture shock in some of these areas. And let me share these with you. And just once again, ask yourself if this is an area you find yourself suffering in this week. specifically with culture shock. When culture shock strikes, where do you feel your heart splitting when it comes to faith and family? When culture shock strikes, where do you find your heart splitting in two with relationships? Or maybe in work activities, school, community involvement, things such as forgiveness and grace, sharing your faith. When culture shock hits you right between the eyes and right in the middle of your heart, and you're asking yourself from the depths of your soul what you should do, does the answer you give reflect that you follow Jesus Christ, or you run full speed after the world with all its fleeting promises? When it comes to loss, depression, fear, pain, or hope, where does this message find you tonight? Now, once again, as I think about that for myself, I can't help but once again go back to Paul's words and encouragement and the desire that he has to communicate to these Colossians and to you and me today God's heart for us. You see, the situation in Belize, the situation in Colossae, and the situation in Fort Wayne are not so different. And here's the common denominator. We are not alone. When we find ourselves at the receiving end of culture shock, we are not alone. And we know this because God sends people just like Paul into your world and mine, just into your culture shock situations and in mine, with church workers, pastors, and Christians like you and me. So at the end of the day, when the worlds are colliding, the agendas are flying around, the conversations are going all over the place, we know exactly where our focus should be, even when it doesn't make sense. On the cross. And friends, as we do that, we start to see this look a little bit different. We start to see those areas that started to give us spiritual heartburn as we process them, well, those lists start to do something a little bit different. Little by little, one side of that comparison card, if you will, starts to fade. Little by little, it starts to not become such a big priority anymore. Which of these two things I'll subscribe to, the world or Jesus? Little by little, it starts to slip away until we get to this point where we ask ourselves this question in the midst of our culture shock. What would Jesus have me do in this situation? As I struggle through those relationship moments, what would Jesus have me do here? As I wrestle with issues of forgiveness and grace, what would Jesus have me do here? As I struggle with situations of depression and loss and anxiety and pain and hope, what would Jesus have me do here? Friends, tonight my prayer for you and for me is this, that we leave here with hope and a new outlook. That as we take time to meditate on what we've heard tonight, what we've seen God do so often, what He does best, that we would leave here as a people who no longer suffer because of culture shock, but we go out and we change the culture, and we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, amen? That's my prayer for you tonight. That's my prayer for all of us. And as we leave here tonight, no matter where you go this week, when you find yourself at the receiving end of culture shock, remember this, because of the love of God for you in Jesus Christ, He's there. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We recognize that so oftentimes we find ourselves at the receiving end of culture shock that we didn't even see coming. Sometimes we ask ourselves, where is this coming from? What did I do to deserve this? And I don't understand how to get through this. But in those moments where we pray that You would come through loud and clear, that You are there. Because of Your love, grace, Your mercy, and Your forgiveness for us, and Your salvation, You are there. We thank You for the people that You put into our lives on a daily basis to bring those messages of truth home to us. Sometimes the distance from our head to our heart, it's a great distance, but we know that You are greater. So we pray, Lord, help us to leave tonight with peace, hope, and a healthy outlook that when culture shock strikes, the Savior is near. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.